Good morning. Good morning. Oh, I think you can do better than that. Good morning. There we go. It is indeed a good morning because we are gathered together and God is in this place. I'd like to draw your attention to a few announcements in the bulletin. This summer, our Children's Sunday School is collecting items for Open Table Nashville. They are in desperate need of items to distribute to those living on the streets, and we are invited to participate in that. So please see that list in your bulletin of items that they need and bring them this summer. This morning, there is no Sunday school so that we can greet our new pastors, and just wanted to alert you to that. There will be no Sunday school, but there will be a reception, and you'll hear more about that in a few moments. Also, our church offices will be closed this coming Tuesday in celebration of the 4th of July holiday. Now I'd like to invite Gretchen Horner to come forward. She is a representative of our Staff Parish Relations Committee.
Good morning. As Aaron said, my name is Gretchen Horner, and I'm a member of the Staff Parish Committee. And I have the distinct honor of introducing our two new ministers to you. Reverend Carol Cavan Dillon is almost a Nashville native. She moved to Nashville from West Tennessee with her family when she was five. She's the youngest of four children and attended and graduated from Harpeth Hall, and then attended Duke University, where she received her undergraduate degree in English. She then taught English for a year in Armentières, France, and then worked in education policy in Washington, D.C., before enrolling in seminary at Candler School of Theology at Emory University. Carol was ordained in 1996, and was appointed to Brentwood United Methodist Church, where she served 7 years. She was then appointed as an associate minister at Christ United Methodist Church in Franklin, and then served as their senior pastor most recently. That's where she comes to us from. She and her husband, David, who's also a Nashville native, married in 1999. They have two children, Tate, who's 15, and Martha, who's 12. Incidentally, Martha was able to join the middle school mission trip at the Heifer Project just a couple weeks ago, so that was exciting for her. They have a dog named Gabby and a snake named Artemis. And also I want to introduce our Reverend Brandon Baxter. Brandon is a lifelong Nashville native and also a lifelong Methodist. He graduated from Millsaps College in 2001 with a degree in music, and specifically vocal performance. He also had additional training in education, and when he returned to Nashville after college, he trained teenagers as community peer educators. He sensed a call to duty, sensed a call to full-time ministry in the local church, and began working in United Methodist churches. Primarily in the youth and music ministries. He served in various churches all around Tennessee, including Calvary United Methodist here in Nashville, Germantown United Methodist in Memphis, and First United Methodist Church in Cookeville. He most recently served and comes to us as the lead preaching pastor at Glendale United Methodist Church. Brandon returned to Nashville in 2013, and the following year he enrolled in the Masters of Divinity program at Vanderbilt University. He graduated this past May and was recently commissioned as an elder in the United Methodist Church. Brandon is married with two children. His wife, Carol, is a dentist in Nolensville, and his two daughters, Emerson and Miriam, are both in elementary school. So I invite you to join us in McWhorter Hall following this service. We'll have a celebration for Carol and Brandon. You can meet and welcome them. Their families will be there too, so we invite you to come and welcome them. Thank you so much.
Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Jesus Christ welcomes us this day. Christ gathers us and gives us power to be healed and to heal, to be forgiven and to forgive, to be freed from sin and to set others free, to tell one another and the world that God's presence is at hand. Let us worship God. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life. To the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of all thy great mercy hast promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee. Have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the Scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full repentance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The peace of Christ be with you. You are invited to pass the peace of Christ to those around you. Thanks. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and the Word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Old Testament. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant, so they said, do as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is your wife Sarah? And he said, there in the tent. Then one said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, oh, yes, you did laugh. And a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God.
It is so good to be with you all this morning. This is a day I have anticipated and been praying about ever since I got that phone call from our district superintendent in April, telling me that I was being sent to West End. And as I look around at you this morning, I realize that there are some familiar faces, some in the choir, some of you out there I've known from other seasons of my life. But many of us are still strangers to each other. I don't yet know your names. I'm looking forward to learning your stories. And as we've gathered this morning in preparation for worship, I'm still not sure if I'm supposed to turn right or left or all the different routines that are changes for me. And so that's caused a little bit of anxiety in the past few days. I didn't realize how much of that nervousness I was feeling until very early on Saturday morning, when I had a dream. I don't know how many of you have had those anxiety dreams where you, like, you're back in high school and it's French class and it's the day of the final exam and you realize, I haven't been in class all year. I had one of those dreams where I came to West End and I had my robes in my arms and I couldn't find my office. I didn't know where I was supposed to go, and so I found this little cranny under a stairwell, and I could tell that Matt was already playing the organ and the service was starting, and I looked down and I had on 2 different shoes, and I thought, I can't wear these shoes on Sunday morning. And I turned around and my dog Gabby had followed me inside, and finally I woke up and I had that wonderful feeling of, oh, it was just a dream. And then another feeling came over me, which was peace. And the reassurance from God that there is no reason to be anxious and to fear. Remember how much this congregation has already welcomed you. You all have been so hospitable and kind in welcoming me and my family. We've received cards and letters and phone calls and emails, and the staff has been so wonderful to show me around and teach me the different places where things are and the way that we do worship here. And of course, I can't say enough about Michael and how gracious you have been to prepare the way for me. You have really been living out this calling that we have as God's people to show hospitality to the stranger. That calling is something God places on God's people from the very beginning, all the way back in Genesis and all the way through the scriptures. It says in the Torah, welcome the stranger. Love the stranger as you love yourself. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, Jesus says. In that wonderful parable at the end of Matthew 25, he says, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. The Apostle Paul says we must show hospitality to strangers. It's part of our spiritual practice. It's part of who we are. And you have done that so warmly and generously for me and for my family. And I can speak for Brandon too, I think, as we come new as strangers into your midst. Now, that word hospitality is one that might feel a little odd to us. Somehow we think of, you know, cucumber sandwiches and Martha Stewart when we think of hospitality, but Christian hospitality is something much deeper and more radical than that. The best image I can come up with is given to us in our scripture reading this morning. To welcome the stranger is to make room at the table for someone new. My grandmother had a saying. She was the mother of 7 children, biologically, 8 if you count the young man who her husband adopted off the orphan train before they ever married. So she had 8 children in her household growing up, and by the time I came around, there were 26 first cousins and some second cousins. But every time we gathered, if somebody had brought a friend or mentioned somebody who might need a place to eat, she would say, oh, there's always room for one more. And somehow there was always room for one more at the table. And that is Christian hospitality. And we see it so beautifully at work in this story of Abraham and Sarah. I just love this story. It makes me laugh because they're so cute. Now, if you're familiar with the Abraham and Sarah story, let me remind you where we are in the context of that story. Way back in chapter 12, God had chosen Abraham and Sarah out of all the people across all the earth. God had chosen them to be the parents of a new nation, a special nation that would be blessed in order to be a blessing to all the world. And at that point, Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65. But when we meet them in chapter 18, Abraham is at least 100 and Sarah is 90. It's been years since they were given that promise of offspring, and it has yet to be realized. And so they've been waiting, and if you know the story, they've taken some diversions and made some mistakes along the way. But there's one day when Abraham is sitting by the side of his tent, waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled, when he sees 3 strangers walking toward him. Now we know, as readers and hearers of the story, that this is God. It says the Lord came to them. We might think they were messengers from God, maybe angels, or maybe God as Trinity appears right here in Genesis, which is pretty cool to think about. But they come before Abraham, and he calls out to them and says, you must come and eat with me. Come and take some drink and have a cool place to sit. It's the heat of the day. And he's so excited to welcome them. He doesn't know who they are. He doesn't know if they're a threat. He doesn't know if they'll have anything to offer him in return. But he wants to make room at his table because it's the heat of the day and there's nowhere else for them to go. And so he gets so excited. He goes into the tent and he starts telling Sarah how to make cakes. And this is where they remind me so much of my parents. Now, some of you know my parents. They've both passed away. My dad worked at First American for most of his career, and he retired when I was in college. And there was one evening when I called home just to see how they were doing. And, of course, they were both on the phone for a while, which was always interesting. And then my dad hung up and moved on, and it was just me and my mom talking. And I said, well, how are things going with Dad's retirement? And she said, he is driving me crazy. He comes in the kitchen when I'm making lunch and stands over me and tells me how to make a sandwich. You'd think I'd never made a sandwich before. He's got to manage everything. And I just thought about that with Abraham running into the kitchen and telling Sarah, who is at least 90 years old and has been making cakes for decades, take 3 measures of flour and knead it, and I just imagine her saying, "Would you go out into the yard? I know how to make cakes." But he's so excited, he just can't contain himself. And he goes out and he gets the fatted calf and he prepares this wonderful meal with Sarah, and then he stands over the guests while they eat. And that, in that culture, was a way of acting like a servant, being ready to meet their every need, whatever it might be. Now, come to find out, Abraham is hosting the Lord, and these messengers have brought to Abraham the word of hope that they need. They remind them once again of the promise of God and give a few more specifics. This time next year, Sarah will have a son. And they are blessed because they have made room at their table and shown extravagant hospitality to these strangers. So I hear this story and I think about, how can I be that enthusiastic in my hospitality toward others? How can I make room in my life? How can we make room as a congregation together for others to come to the table? I know you already have so many practices of hospitality, with room in the inn and launch pad, and when someone new walks in the door to worship, the passing of the peace and reaching out to one another and making room for the stranger to come into our home, to come into this home, to come into our lives. And it can be risky. We may be welcoming someone whose opinions are different from ours. We may be welcoming someone who has needs that we may feel ill-equipped to respond to. But our job, God reminds us again and again, is not to try to calculate all that and who we should let in and who we shouldn't. No. Our job is simply to announce to the world that there is a place for them at the table. And this morning, we gather at this table. This is my first time to be at this table with you. And you have let me know that there's a place at this table that has my name on it, and it has David's name and Tate's name and Martha's name. And we're welcome at this table. And I think about all the thousands of people who drive by this church every day, and among them are those who have no place to belong. They don't know that they're welcome. They don't know that their name is already at this table. So may you and I together be those who carry that invitation out into the world, because this is Christ's table, and he is the host. He's issued the invitations, but we get to be the messengers to carry that invitation out into this world that needs so desperately to know that they're loved and invited and accepted at this table. May we do that with the enthusiasm of Abraham and the skill of Sarah and the compassion of our Lord and host. Amen. And now I invite you to stand with me as we affirm our faith in this Lord who is our host, in the one who has invited us and invites all to the table. The Apostles' Creed, found on page 882. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may be seated.
I'll echo Carol. We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. We are glad that you are here. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We hope that you will join us in McWhirter Hall, which is directly below our sanctuary here, following our service, both to greet Carol and Andrew, and to greet any Andrew ministers that you might see. They have blue name tags on, and they would love to answer any questions that you have about our congregation and to help you feel welcome. They will also be stationed in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary following the service. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer request there and indicate if they're to be shared or confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed back down the pew in a few moments. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following the late worship service, so around 12 or 12:15. They will gather in Reed Hall through the doors to your right. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pads that you'll find near the center aisle down the pew if you haven't already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew toward the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know following this service. God's generosity knows no bounds, so with this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father Almighty, everlasting God.
Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by the one offering of himself a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again.
Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him.
Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Likewise, after supper, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." And so let us join together now in this prayer. Our Lord, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation.
Let us continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord,
whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him and he in us.
Friend or stranger, you don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We invite you, after the choir has communed, to come by way of the center aisle, kneel at the chancel rail, extend your hand when you're ready to receive the elements. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. When you have received both elements, you're welcome to remain at the chancel rail for a time of prayer if you choose. You're welcome to return to your seat when you're ready by the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew, please catch our eye and Carol and I will serve you there. Also, we have a gluten-free option. We ask that if you need that option, please come to the lectern side of the sanctuary and Emily and Aaron will be glad to serve you. We take an offering at each of our communion services, and this month the offering goes to our minister's discretionary fund. We get dozens of calls, sometimes each day, for help from folks in the community. This discretionary fund allows any of the clergy in consultation to help folks who genuinely need help to pay a light bill, to get some food, to get a roof over their head. And so, if you would like to contribute to that effort, there are two offering plates right next to the front pews. You're welcome to leave your offering there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every good and perfect gift. We give thee praise and thanks for all thy mercies. Thy goodness has created us. Thy bounty has sustained us. Thy discipline has chastened us. Thy patience has borne with us. Thy love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve thee, and enable us to show our thankfulness for all thy goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to thy service and cheerfully submitting in all things to thy blessed will through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Dear friends, today we welcome Carol Cavan Dillon and Brandon Baxter, who have been appointed to serve as our senior pastor and pastor of spiritual formation. We also celebrate our returning clergy, Aaron Racine, Nancy Hawthorne Parker, Lisa Guak, and Becky Peeler. We believe that they have been prayerfully appointed to serve at West End United Methodist Church. Carol, Brandon, Aaron, and Nancy, as elders, you have been sent to live among us as bearers of the Word of God, ministers of the sacraments, and sustainers of the love, order, and discipleship of the people of God. Lisa and Becky, as deacons, you are to represent the ministry of servanthood, to proclaim God's Word and to equip all Christians to be in ministries of compassion and justice in service to the community. Today, do you reaffirm this commitment in the presence of this congregation?
We do.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, as a people committed to participate in the ministries of the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, will you support and uphold these pastors, surrounding them with your love and care? If so, say we will.
We will.
Aaron, accept this Bible and continue to be among us as one who proclaims the word. Brandon, take this water and baptize new Christians in this place. Nancy, take this bread and cup and keep us in communion with Christ and his church. Becky, take this towel and basin and lead us to be servants of all. Lisa, take this candle and lead us in our mission to be the loving light of Christ to this community and all the world. Last Sunday, we celebrated the ministry of Michael Williams, who served us faithfully for 7.5 years and released him from responsibilities as pastor at West End United Methodist Church. Michael, we now invite you to officially pass the mantle to our new senior pastor, Carol Cavan Dillon.
Carol, this was given to me by R. Harold Hips as we prepared for his memorial service. R. was a longtime member of West End and director for many years of the Christian Educators Fellowship. He instructed me to wear it as part of his memorial service. It had been his robe. He was a very short man. I'm somewhat taller. I told him it would never fit, but apparently it's a magic robe and fits whoever wears it because it fit me too. It is my honor and my pleasure to pass this on to you as a symbol that now you will lead and guide and shepherd this congregation. Here we go. Armhole, head hole, armhole.
Oh. It fits.
is. It is with great joy and gratitude and humility that I receive this mantle from you, my brother and friend, Michael, and that I come among you to serve with you alongside of you, to be with you in the ministry that God has called all of us to do in this place for such a time as this. Thank you for your hospitality, for your welcome. May God's blessings be upon us as we continue our journey.
Amen. Let us pray together. Eternal God, strengthen us and sustain us in our ministries together with Carol, Brandon, Aaron, Nancy, Lisa, and Becky, whom you have sent to serve with us at West End. Give us all patience, courage, and wisdom, so to care for one another and challenge one another, that together we might witness to the loving light of Christ in the world, living together in love, and offering our gifts in your service. Amen.
Have been fed at the table of Christ. May we go from this place to welcome others, to announce that they have a place at the table. As we have been welcomed, let us go to welcome others. In the name of Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.
Amen.